Good evening, members, and thank you for coming. I'm going to be starting the meeting this evening because we haven't got a chair or a vice chair. So I'll go through the introductions and then I will appoint a chair and a vice chair, and then at that stage the chair can take over the meeting. So welcome to this meeting of the Loughborough Area Committee for Charnwood Borough Council. There are a number of things I would like to remind people before we start the meeting. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be made available on the Council's website following the meeting. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everybody present to turn off your phones or switch them to silent to ensure that the environment is distraction-free. So, item one, appointment of chair. Do I have any nominations for the chair of the Loughborough Area Committee 2023-24? Councillor Mia. Thank you, Councillor Mia. Are there any other nominations? Okay, so can I see all those in favour? Against? Abstentions? Okay, so that's Councillor Hamilton voted as the chair of the Loughborough Air Committee 2023-24. I'll just do the appointment of vice chair and then Councillor Hamilton can take over the meeting. So, item two, appointment of vice chair. Are there any nominations for the role of vice chair of the committee? Councillor Mia. Thank you, Councillor Mia. Are there any other nominations? Thank you. So can I see all those in favour? All those against? Any abstentions? So that's Councillor Tillotson, the vice chair of the Loughborough Area Committee 2023-24.
Right, thank you for that, and thank you for nominating me chair. I want to move straight on to the next item of the agenda, which is item three, and that is apologies. Do we have any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. We have apologies from Councillor Julie Bradshaw.
Any other apologies? Councillor Mia.
Apologies from Councillor Jones, Louise Jones.
Any other apologies? No other apologies? Thank you. Then moving on to item four, which is minutes of the previous meeting. So I can ask the committee if you content to receive and note the minutes. Are you continued to note the minutes? Of course, some of you wouldn't have been councillors. Okay. I can confirm that the minutes have been noted. Moving on to item five, which is disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. Are there any disclosures of such nature? Councillor Good.
Right. I think these are relevant. I'm a director of Love Loughborough. I use the digital engagement officer, a director of a CIC that's got a grant application in for funding with the council with use to Queen's Park, and my husband also works on the University Science Park.
Thank you for that. Are there any other disclosures? I see. Oh, Councillor Mia?
Just on Councillor Good's prompted me, myself and Councillor Tillotson declare interest. We're on directors of the bid, or soon to be directors of the bid. So not Tillotson, Jones, sorry.
I concur.
Okay, thank you for that. I see no other hands for any further disclosures. Okay, moving on to item six, declarations of the party whip. As far as I'm aware, there are no declarations to report. We then move swiftly on to item seven, which is questions under scrutiny committee procedures 12.8, and no questions were submitted. So that leaves us with the substantive item for this evening, which is item eight, and that's the Loughborough Annual Update Report 2023. So I believe it's the Head of Contracts for Leisure, Waste and Environment to introduce the report, am I correct? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report of the Heads of Service for Contracts for Leisure, Waste and Environment, Economic Development and Regeneration, Planning and Growth and Finance, providing information and updates on significant matters relating to the town of Loughborough.
Thank you. I suppose it says ask the members of the committee. Does any members of any committee have any questions around this report? Councillor Muir.
Thanks through you, Chair. I think it's probably better for Chris Grace to field questions on the Town Deal Board, if that's okay.
Beg your pardon. Through you, Chair, if I may respond. So the report that's before the committee tonight includes an update on the Bedford Square Gateway project and explains that having completed the construction element of the contract on the 2nd of August last year, we are now within a period of effectively defects and snagging. This is a 12-month period whereby the contractor and the council's project team and the county council go through and identify defects with the scheme, things that have broken since they were put in place, any snags that we identify because things haven't been built quite right and those sorts of things, and then we seek to put in place a mini program, if you like, to reconcile those issues. So that's the period we're within at the moment. There has to be an agreement about what works are defects and what works are snags, and that could take a little bit of time to negotiate between, you know, the council, the county council, and the contractor team before that plan of works is prepared. So once it has been finalised, and we're pretty close to that now, we will need to have the contractors go back in to deal with those issues, which will inevitably involve a small amount of disruption to local businesses. Obviously, you know, the project team's looking to minimise that disruption and to do all the works in one hit or in a way that minimises the disruption to businesses. So that's the period we're in. Once we've got through that, we then move over to the formal handover of the scheme to the County Council for Highway Authority for them to adopt. And before we do that, we have the fourth and final stage of what they call the road safety audit, which is an independent assessment whereby the County Council receives a report and satisfies itself that the scheme is safe and is suitable for them to take on board and adopt and maintain into the future. So that's the final stage of the process.
Thank you very much. I don't have any further questions on that one, but I have another one on the Loughborough special rates. So if anybody wants to come in on that one, I'm happy, Chair, through you to give way.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, I would just like to ask if any of our ward residents do report any issues that they found while they're out and about in the town centre, how do we report them? Do we mail them to you, or is there a better way?
Through you, Chair. Ward councillors can either email them directly to me or to the project manager, Steve Dibner, and we can take those on board. So that has happened in a number of cases where residents have made us aware of, you know, defects that they've seen in the project area, and we've been, you know, dealing with them as and when they've come forward, because they've been minor things. But if there's anything more substantive that needs to be built into the snagging plan, then we'll take those on board and deal with them.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Mayo.
Yeah, I had a further question on the outturn report on the Loughborough special expenses to do with CCTV. And the report says that the Carillon Centre has withdrawn from the CCTV scheme and it's 36 cameras or something like that. Can you let me know what the impact of that is on the overall funding of the CCTV camera? I understand why they've done it, because I think the ownership of that centre has changed. But if they've withdrawn from it, is it because we haven't got the income from them, that's why it's changed, or why has the cost gone up quite considerably in year?
Thank you. Through you, Chair, I can answer that question. The Carillon Court was receiving income for the cameras that were in the Carillon Court. So the contractor has now sort of decided not to carry on with that. What I can say is that Charnwood Borough Council are still servicing and operating those cameras, so the cameras are still being used in the Carillon Court. So, you know, sort of the council are having to find that difference due to sort of the loss of that contract. So that's where we are at the moment. It is a small overspend, sort of on in the rates. It will be down to the operation head of service to sort of look at how we can sort of mitigate that going forward.
Charnwood Waters, the toilets in Charnwood Waters, it says that they've been closed for a year, well, this period, and we haven't spent any money on them because they've been closed. But then we have spent money on them because we've spent a considerable amount of the budget on closed toilets. So is it time that we said, actually, we're not going to reopen them and either knock them down and let it grow wild, or find another use for that building and then use that money that we would have spent on the toilets elsewhere in the budget?
Through you, Chair, yes, I do agree. We do need to look at Charnwood Water toilets as an ongoing issue. Really, unfortunately, we have had to continually repair the toilets when they're open. They are subject to vandalism, and the location there is quite remote, which doesn't help. So I think the prospect of opening them is quite remote, so we do either have to repurpose the building or knock it down and do something else and achieve a saving by doing that. So I concur with the comments that have been made there. Sorry, Chair, if I could just add, there is a model boat club that has a lease at Charnwood Water, and they do use the disabled toilet with a radar key there. So the main public toilets aren't open. They have been open very infrequently, but closed very soon after due to the frequency of the issues that we've had there. But any decision we make would have to account for the lease there and the ability for the model boat club to use the use toilets on the site.
Thank you for that. I have one question concerning the aftermath of the fire at the HSBC, and so I'm aware that you're investigating reducing the footprint of the fenced off area, because I think currently something like 40% of Market Square has been closed off. Do we know how much will be recovered in, when we reduce the area? And also, I know you're looking at a new layout for the fair. Will the fair be of a similar size, or are we going to have a smaller fair because of the fenced off area?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, in response to that question, the situation does at the moment change literally from week to week and almost day to day. So the council is in regular liaison with HSBC and their contractors and other relevant parties, including insurance companies and so on. The latest information that we have is that the size of the fenced off area is going to reduce. I can't give you a specific figure this evening because I don't have one. As I say, things are changing, but what we do know is that it is going to reduce. That's partly because once construction work gets underway, they will be able to use areas to the rear of the building for a contractor's compound, so they won't need to use in front of the building for a compound area, which is really good news, I would suggest. But there will definitely still be a fenced-off area for quite a significant period of time, as I'm sure everybody is aware of. The impact of that is, yes, upon the fair, but also day-to-day and every single week in terms of the operation of the market. So as this report states, we have already adjusted the layout of the market. We continue to do that and will do that. It partly depends on how many traders want to attend the various markets that we hold as to exactly what the layout is that we have. In terms of the fair, it is going to go ahead this year. I spoke just in the last few days with Leicestershire Fire and Rescue Service, and they have no concerns about the fair going ahead, as long as we do, as we will do, our event planning properly and liaise with them and the other emergency services and all the other organisations involved. The fair can go ahead, so there's no reason for it not to go ahead from a fire and safety point of view. In terms of the layout, yes, it will be different. Lynn Machin from my markets, fairs and town centre operations team has been working for several weeks now on potential options in terms of layouts. As things stand at the moment, we're looking to try and make better and potentially extended use of the area of the Granby Street car park, which will offset some of the issues that we'll have in terms of not being able to have some of the rides and stores and so on that we normally have in the marketplace itself. At this point in time, I think the fair will be slightly smaller. But if we can use other areas and with other bits of rejigging of layouts, then I would expect at this point in time for it not to be significantly smaller. But there is no getting around the fact that that fenced off area will impact.
Thank you for that. It's just that with a slightly smaller fair, which no one could anticipate, but the same number of people in a smaller footprint of, you know, so crowd control is going to be a particular issue to manage, I would imagine.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, crowd control is always one of the key aspects of event management and event planning. So that's looked at every single year, regardless of the situation that you're in, along with all of other aspects of delivering a safe event. And that is the first priority in terms of any delivery of an event, in terms of planning an event, is to make sure that it is safe and that different scenarios are looked at, and that we know what would happen in the event of different incidents and so on occurring. Pinch points is something we're particularly conscious of, and the fenced off area, again, will have some implications. But in terms of what the agencies are saying to us at the moment, is that as long as fire engines, ambulances can get through the main area of the fair from both ends, then as things stand, they have no issues. But in terms of crowd control, that's why we will have, as we always have had in Loughborough Fair, good numbers of stewards on the ground who liaise constantly via radio with those of us who work in the silver control of the fair. We use CCTV imaging to see what's going on. So we've got people on the ground, we've got CCTV, and through the control, if we think that there's the potential for anything to happen, which you wouldn't want to happen, then we'll deal with that through the appropriate measures.
Okay, thank you for that. Are there any further questions? Councillor Gray.
Sort of an observation and a couple of questions. Reading through the Living Loughborough project, you know, really welcome this initiative because, you know, I'm sort of reading the report and it talks about making the town centre even more vibrant, which sounds really very sort of positive because it hasn't, to me, it hasn't felt particularly vibrant for quite some time. But, you know, a couple of questions. I think the market has dwindled over, you know, recent years, and obviously there are, you know, very clear reasons for that. I think having stalls that could be used all year round is a great improvement. I'm just wondering, though, about then the cost for traders, because I know some market stall holders have said, you know, this is just not viable anymore. We're really, really struggling. So, you know, I'm wondering about how much of that cost will be passed on and how we anticipate traders being able to manage that. And, you know, my second point really, again, the use of, you know, festivals, events, special markets, brilliant. Again, you know, trying to increase the footfall in the town centre. It does reference the council undertaking significant use of social media, websites and so on. It does rather depend on people accessing those particular sites. And as a resident, and with some of the residents I work with, often people haven't been aware. So I'm wondering whether we can increase the signage perhaps in the town centre when events are coming up, you know, and do that in a sort of timely manner so people are aware as opposed to it being just maybe a couple of days before. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Through the chair. So couple of points that you've raised there. So I'll take those in turn. In terms of the markets and the infrastructure and the trading conditions and so on, yes, undoubtedly it has been a challenging time for market traders, and it remains challenging for them in terms of the economic circumstances which everybody is facing at the moment. So yes, market faces are facing challenges. A lot of businesses of other types are facing challenges as well, and we're very conscious of that. When the council sets the fees and charges that relate to the market stalls, but also other fees and charges in the town centre area, we always undertake benchmarking against other towns, particularly those of a comparable nature, so those of a sort of large market town nature. See what's happening in those places. And it's about trying to get a balance between something which is realistic in terms of not being too onerous on the market traders, but also, obviously, this organisation does have costs to bear. So we have to try and get that balance between covering our costs, achieving income, which is important, you know, for the council's overall budget, not just my service area, and doing what's right for the market traders. In terms of the Living Loughborough project and how that will affect things, and as you were saying, Councillor, in terms of new markets infrastructure, because we are using town deal money for that infrastructure, it doesn't hit the bottom line, as it were, of the council's budget. So that therefore should not impact directly upon any future fees or charges that we levy on the market traders. One of the benefits of using the town deal money and having the new infrastructure in place is that if we can bring more people into the town centre, if we can make the conditions better for the market traders themselves, that will give everything a lift. it should address some of those issues about how many traders actually want to come and be in Loughborough. And, you know, we've had actually, just in the last couple of weeks, we've had two people approach the markets team and say that they're interested to come onto the market who we haven't had before. I know it's not Loughborough, but I'll just make the point, Shepshed, we've had an increase in market traders. So I think all of that is a sign, actually, that markets are certainly not a thing of the past. They're very much something of now and of the future. But what is important, both from a placemaking, a town economy perspective, but I think also in terms of the market traders themselves, is that you have to continually evolve and improve if you want to survive and be successful. So as well as providing new infrastructure, which will be good for the market traders because less markets will be cancelled, there will be some benefits, I think, around electricity supply, so that will be good for them. As well as those benefits, it will also mean that we can do more specialist markets, lift the environment in which people are shopping and browsing and exploring the town centre. So I would suggest that the overall the picture is definitely one of positive. In terms of your second question around marketing and promotion and specifically around signage, very interesting question, because we actually just a few weeks ago had a conversation about signage, and actually that flowed from the situation we have with the fencing in the town centre. So I did say to colleagues, we need to, and to HSBC, we need to, and again particularly to HSBC, because I don't really want the council to pick up the tab, but can we have signage on the fencing, which again not just lifts the visual environment, but also actually can give out information. So it could give out information about forthcoming events and so on. The council's communications team do put out a lot of content via a lot of channels on events. We've had quite a run just recently, actually, around events in particular, and have continually done that since we issued in March the programme of events for Loughborough in 2023. So we use all the favourites, as it were, in terms of Facebook, Twitter, etc., Instagram these days. Obviously, this is the council's main website itself. We also now have, since the pandemic period, the Discover Charnwood website, where we put information about not just permanent things to visit in Charnwood, but also what's going on in terms of events. And there will be, in terms of signage, further improvements, both physical improvements and digital opportunities, again, off the back of the Live in Loughborough project. So I think it's definitely something that we're aware of, Councillor, and we will continue to do as much as we can to promote and market. And certainly my intention with this service, and this is one of the reasons that this new service, which has only been in place since October, was created out of the leadership review of the council, is to link together what happens in terms of overall promotion of this town, but also the wider borough, link that to what's being delivered in terms of things like events, markets, and so on. So absolutely, all of that is what we intend to do.
Thank you. Councillor, did you have a question?
Yes, Chair. Could the council or Loughborough look into the idea of setting up some secure places to put push bikes to get people into town? There's that been many thefts, bikes pinched and that I've been asked to ask the question, and it would draw more people in if they got somewhere secure to put the bikes. Thank you.
Matthew Bradford.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. We do have a number of Sheffield Steel stands that some people like and some people don't. They are quite exposed there, and theft of cycles is quite easy now with battery angle grinders and things like that. But I am aware of a business in the town that's recruited several businesses that host secure bicycle storage. It's done via an app, so you can book a space for your bicycle for a small charge in one of the town centre shops. So that may be something that your resident wants to look into, Councillor Campbell. But I think that's where we are at the moment. I don't think there's any plans on the council's behalf to sort of extend the cycle storage at the current time.
Thank you for that. Councillor Smidowitz.
Thank you. You mentioned CCTV and also signage. I'm aware that the police have got some signs about e-bikes, that they shouldn't be on the pavements. Part of my question is, we have CCTV. Is it ever monitored in a day to record how many bikes and electric bikes are in the centre of town? Because it's a recurring complaint we get on the liaison group and from residents.
Through you, Chair, I mean, and probably the best person to answer this question would probably be the head of regulatory services, who unfortunately isn't here. I'm not aware that we record number of cycles or electric cycles go through the town, and sometimes it's quite hard to distinguish one from the other. To be honest, I would suspect that there isn't any record of that, and the CCTV cameras are monitored 24/7. In order to sort of gather evidence, if you like, the CCTV operator has to be satisfied that there's a reasonable suspicion that a crime's been committed. So again, that may influence what they monitor and record and what they don't.
Well, we do have a bylaw that actually says bikes shouldn't be used, and that, or if they are used, they should have a bell on them. I haven't seen a bicycle with a bell since I was a kid, but there is one.
I've got my folding bicycle down there, Councillor Smidowitz. It's got a bell on it, so
we're okay. I'm impressed, Matt. I'm impressed. But it is an offence, and we do know that single policemen and CPSOs won't stop them, because what are they going to do and where are they going to put it when they do finally get the bike? But it would be nice to think that occasionally somebody is getting something, their bike removed, because they're not insured. If there's an accident, then what? So it does concern me and a lot of other people.
I think, Chair, what we'll do, I think the officers will take this back to the head of regulatory services and get back to the councillors on that particular issue. As I say, it's not really any of our areas of responsibility. So I think that probably the best thing to do would be ask them to provide a written response to you in the next few days, if that's okay.
Thank you. Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you. I mean, it's really interesting listening to this debate. On the one hand, we've got people wanting better cycle storage, and we've got a suggestion that perhaps there are already too many bikes in the town centre. Clearly, we want to encourage cycling. And just for clarification, it's illegal to sell a new bike without a bell, but it is not illegal to ride a bike without a bell. But my bike does have a bell.
Thanks for that, Councillor Tillotson. Are there any other questions from members? Councillor Gray.
Sorry, it's signs again. but it's Nampanton Cemetery specifically. So at a previous meeting, we discussed that access through into the parking at the Bowls Club, and, you know, as you're coming into the cemetery, and the fact that you've got a blind bend, and we've now got significant increases in traffic. It was already quite busy, but you've got the path there now, so it's a lot narrower. And I remember we discussed the potential of signs just to warn people that, you know, to expect potentially an oncoming vehicle. And I haven't noticed that the signs are there, so I just wondered if there's any progress with that.
Through you, Chair, there hasn't been any progress on that today. I will follow that up. I was actually at the cemetery site today, and I think there were some parking behaviours that caused me particular concern, to be honest. So I think we need to look at the whole enforcement there. The parking layout does meet standards, the appropriate standards, but people are actually parking in the walkway area up to the cemetery in the shade of the trees. So anyone walking, including parents that are dropping their children off at the nursery or going to football, would have to walk into the car park and not use the designated walkway. So we'll have a look at that and address that along with some other concerns there that you've raised.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Do any members want any further information or clarifications from the heads of services? I see no member making any indications. Therefore, I then ask members to confirm that they note the Loughborough Annual Update Report. So is it noted? The report is noted. Thank you. Moving on to item 9, which is the work programme. That's on page 22 of the papers. Well, all I'm asked here to is ask the committee to note the work programme. That just simply mentions really the next meeting, which will be the draft budget. So that happens in December. So does the committee note it? Okay, it is noted. Thank you. And so the next meeting will occur in the run-up to Christmas, 6th of December. I now close the meeting. Thank you.